Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hello, and welcome to Contemplations. Today we're going to be going through some true horror stories. My aim is to scare both you and Harry as much as I possibly can. So yes, as it's Halloween, or coming up to it, we thought we'd just, you know, wear our normal clothes. And with that out of the way, let's get on to the first creepy story. So, I don't know how much you know about the Paris catacombs.
My parents have been there.
Mm-hmm.
I have not. They told me it's a very spooky experience.
Mm-hmm. So, to those not in the know, the Paris catacombs are a massive underground ossuary which contains the remains of more than 6 million people, some estimate maybe even 7 million. Apparently there are over 200 miles of tunnels containing human remains. The story goes that they ran out of room above ground and then turned the former quarries beneath Paris into catacombs that we know today, and this was in the 18th and 19th century. So pretty much what happened was that the graveyards in Paris had become overflowing with bodies to the point where an entire church collapsed from digging too many graves, which sent loads of dead bodies flying into the congregation.
God, that'd be awful. I just assume that the French revolutionaries had just killed that many people, they ran out of space.
No, it was lots of old bones. So they had already been long dead by the time they were moved to the catacombs. But the tunnels are like a maze with a couple of levels. Some are flooded, some have collapsed either with rocks or are so full with bones that you can't get through anymore. And there are many cases of people getting lost in the catacombs, never to be seen again. So here's a map of it just to show how extensive it truly is. But the interesting thing isn't the map, it's the actual structures within. So if you can move on to some of the structures there.
So weird.
Made with a combination of human skulls, and I think those are either femurs or arm bones, I'm not sure.
This is a very heavy metal sense of interior decorating.
I like how they've built an entire wall full of human remains. I'm just like, yes, but we're still Christian. We've got the cross.
That's right. No, there is something weirdly aesthetically pleasing about this in an incredibly morbid way.
They've at least tried to decorate it, which you've got to appreciate, really.
See, the catacombs to me hold two particular spooky elements mm-hmm. to them that really bring them together. One, obviously, you can't avoid it, all of the bones and human remains down there, especially when they're set up in a way that is, they're kind of, like, they'd be staring at your shins from that angle, wouldn't they? And then also just the fact that you're underground, the feeling of being trapped with nothing but the souls and the remains of the dead, terrifying.
So if we move on to the next picture, there's another structure which is a bit further in the catacombs, I believe.
They've made a cross out of skulls right there as well.
Mm-hmm. It's very heavy metal, you're going to love
this
it.
This is really metal.
If we move on to the next one, there is an altar. Which has a brazier in the middle, which you're meant to light, which is going to look very ominous with all the bones in the background. And you often find, if you're exploring the catacombs, that people have left candles, and candles are still burning despite the fact that nobody's there anymore. Which adds to the kind of freaky factor of it. So if we move on, here is what looks like someone has carved an entire castle under there. Got to wonder who spent enough time under there. To do all of that.
I assume that's very small.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's like a, more like a model of a castle. That's still very
It's not a real castle.
Yeah. That's still very impressive to do something like that.
So I thought I'd have a token cool thing in there. Just for...
This whole thing is very cool. I will say, if I was down there, I would think that I'm about to be sacrificed in some kind of ancient ritual, because it really does feel like that. I like that they went, let's not just put them even more underground, let's also make it aesthetic. We are French, after all.
You are sweet. Oh, no, I'm not going to do the accent. I'm going to laugh if I do.
Okay.
I sounded almost Danish, not... Never mind. But moving on to the next picture... these are some of the hallways that people walk through. Obviously, they're covered with bones, still the remains of the quarry along the side. But yes, imagine walking through hallways full of bones.
I would feel horrible. I'd feel horribly disrespectful hearing the bones crunching and rustling around underneath foot.
Imagine getting home and you're looking at the treads of your shoes and you're just like, oh, I've got a bit of skull in there.
Just a little bit of bone in there.
But moving on again to the next one, there is a bone throne, which no, is not a nickname for the...
it's not what you invite your ladies to on the weekend, is
no,
it?
No, I'm afraid not. But yeah, that's particularly creepy because it's pretty out of the way as far as I'm aware. And someone's made, gone to the effort of making a chair out of bones and skulls. And...
See, there is something weirdly... demonic about this as well, isn't there? It's like, okay, if you just want to respect the remains of the dead, you can do that, and you can do that in a particularly aesthetic way. Why is it though that you need almost like ritual chambers? Why is it there's an out of the way throne made down here? What did these French people get up to when they decided to put this whole thing together? What were they thinking? Very strange.
Speaking of which, talking of demonic, let's have a look at this what I can only presume is an art installation, but it's a Minotaur, or if you're American, Minotaur, underneath the catacombs, and obviously in a very dark part that's not really open to the public. Imagine coming across that when you're not expecting it.
That'd be terrifying. I can't imagine why they would still allow people to put strange art installations down there, except to frighten people. Do we know what the reason for them laying out the catacombs in such a way is?
Well, there was already a stone quarry there, which they used to make the buildings in Paris above ground. And so they had all this empty space underneath, and they had a massive need to bury all these bones because they ran out of room above ground in the city of Paris. And so they just moved everything down there into the pre-existing quarry and turned it into an ossuary.
Okay.
That was their reasoning behind it. But let's move on to the first video, which is, I could only find it from a documentary, so excuse the commentary, but it is quite useful, actually. And this is a video which is pre-mainstream internet. I think it went somewhat viral in the 1990s, but you can't really find it online anymore, which is a shame. But let's have a look at this video from the catacombs.
It's very bizarre. These arrows point in a direction. Occasionally also, he stops to photograph roomfuls of bones, which means that he's very, very deep inside the catacombs. So basically, he's filming what he's seeing very deep inside the catacombs, other than the point of view shots or pictures of human bones. The catacombs for centuries. So it is possible with these paintings that we may be able to retrace back to some extent.
That's awful.
After about 4 hours, you hear his breathing get louder and louder, as though something was scaring him. He's frightened. Occasionally he stops, perhaps to try to decide which way to run among all the many different corridors. He's running faster and faster and faster, deeper and deeper into the catacombs. And all of a sudden, we hear his breathing get louder and louder, as though something was scaring him. He's frightened. Occasionally he stops, perhaps to try to decide which way to run among all the many different corridors. He's running faster and faster and faster, deeper and deeper into the catacombs. And all of a sudden... this video camera...
The reason that this is significant is that this is the person's only source of light. And what would lead them to drop their camera on the floor and run away into the darkness.
I mean, I'd be terrified just going around there normally with a light. So I can imagine that you're down there, light plays tricks on you, the shadows jumping around. Was that a real video or was that put on? Because that felt almost Blair Witchy with the way it was presented.
I think it was a pre-Blair Witch video, but I think the fact that it's only now available in documentaries makes me a little bit wary. But the fact that it's also pre-internet kind of adds to its validity, because what would someone gain from faking it?
True. I suppose, even if that was faked, I could see myself probably doing something like that down there anyway, because that looks honestly horrifying. Imagine coming up and you're just there, faint light going out into the distance, and in the distance against a wall you can see the outline of a humanoid figure almost put up like they've been tortured or something, like we saw at the end of that corridor he'd been walking down. Horrifying.
So one of the theories about whether this is a genuine video is that in underground areas like caves, old mines and the catacombs, you can get small cracks in the rock, and when wind passes through them, because of course there's still breathable air, so air does get down there, it makes a sort of noise that
I imagine it sounds like whispering.
It does, yes. And when you're walking through potentially hallways full of bones and you can hear whispering.
Oh god. Oh, shiver me timbers. Oh.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
But that's a known phenomenon, that's a real thing, and that's one potential explanation, although I feel like out of all the things we're covering in this contemplations, I feel like that's probably the one to doubt the most, but there's no doubt that the Paris catacombs are creepy.
I mean, they're obviously real as well.
Yes.
No need to doubt the existence of those.
So, the next story I want to talk about is the Velasca axe murder. So, here is a house. It was the source of, on the evening of the 9th of June, 1912, obviously in Velasca, Iowa, six members of the Moore family and two guests were found bludgeoned in the Moore's home with an axe to the head, all eight of them. So they found two cigarettes in the attic, which suggests that the killer or killers waited there for them to go to sleep before carrying out the murder. Killings seem to have started in the master bedroom, with Josiah Moore receiving more axe blows than any of the other victims, which of course is worth bearing in mind.
So that suggests something personal to me.
Perhaps,
a dinner table argument gone wrong, perhaps.
His face had been hit so many times that some of his eyes were actually missing. So it was well beyond just killing him. All of the other victims were killed with the axe handle rather than the blade itself, which also...
So bludgeoned, particularly brutally.
Mm-hmm. So after the rest of the household were dead, except two of the children, which they left till last... the killer returned to the master bedroom to deliver more strikes to Josiah Moore's face before killing the remaining children. So,
definitely a personal vendetta.
Mm.
I've seen it many times.
Perhaps one of the most confusing details is that the murderer left a 4-pound slab of bacon next to the axe they used on the floor. In the they took it out of the fridge and left it next to the axe, which they wiped clean. Apparently the rest of the food in the home was untouched, and the murder went unsolved with no potential suspects. But I feel like a spooky contemplations would not be complete without our own unsolved
origin.
No.
Oh, okay.
Our own unsolved murder mystery. And there were many suspects, and I want you to pick out your favourite.
All right, go on.
Okay, so number one is a guy by the name of Andrew Sawyer, who was a homeless person who was unaccounted for the night of the murder. He lived in the town.
He was just out and about in the town. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew where he was. Okay. Any personal connection to the family?
Nope. None at
any
all.
Any previous just interactions they might have had? Okay, I'm going to immediately just cross him off the list, because this seems to be far more personal.
You might like this one a bit more then. So this is the Reverend George Kelly, who was a travelling minister that was in town the night of the murders. So... he's noted as having a mental breakdown as a teenager, and as an adult, he was actually accused of peeping on women getting changed. The day of the murders, the Moors went to his children's day service. So he actually came into contact with them,
okay.
the family, in the daytime. And the day after the murders, he left town between 5 and 6 a.m., a few hours before the bodies were found. Maybe a coincidence.
Okay, very interesting.
Maybe
were,
not.
Were there any reports of he and the father of the family getting into any sort of verbal
altercation? No, as far as I'm aware, okay. there isn't.
Still could have happened, mm-hmm. even if it wasn't reported.
Mm-hmm. So in the following weeks, he seemed to show a fascination with the case, and he wrote several letters to police, investigators, and the family of the victims themselves. And an investigator wrote back to him and asked for details about the case. And the priest, I forgot what his title is, Reverend, sorry, wrote back and said that he heard
that
sounds...
You're not a godly man.
Hmm?
Not a godly man, you.
No, that's true. I'm completely godless. Ooh. So yes, he claimed to have heard sounds and possibly witnessed the murder itself, or at least in his own words. He confessed to the murders in court, but the jury did not believe his confession, which is a weird turn of events.
Very interesting. Well, he might... I can't understand his motive for confessing. Perhaps he felt, being a reverend, that he had partially been to blame because of the fact he couldn't do anything. Perhaps he was trying to...
Well, the jury's concern was that he had a history of mental illness, and they thought that perhaps he was not sound of mind to just to confess to a murder in the first place. Two years later, though, he was arrested for sexually harassing a woman who applied for a job as his secretary, and he was sent to a mental hospital.
Okay.
So 5 years after the murder, obviously after he'd been sent to this mental hospital, he was again arrested for the murders, confessed again, but eventually recanted his confession, and again he was acquitted by the jury. So there was some sort of focus upon him, seemingly... reasonable. I mean, he confessed to it. Maybe him recanting the confession is the real...
But he was also slightly crazy, so perhaps he was just confessing to confess.
What about this next one, then? So, Frank F. Jones, who was the Iowa State Senator at the time. So, Josiah Moore had worked for Frank Jones at his store for many years before leaving to set up his own store, and this took away business from Jones, including a very successful John Deere dealership, which I think John Deere make farming equipment, don't they? Like tractors.
Yeah, yeah.
Trackers, as we say it down
my
way.
You should know.
Yes, they do. So, also, Moore was rumoured to have had a sexual affair with Jones's daughter-in-law as well. So, additional reason to have a vendetta against a guy. Imagine someone taking both business away and having a fraternisation with your daughter-in-law.
That would explain the particular... emphasis put on, you know, axing the dad then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, I believe that Frank Jones did have an alibi, but then he was a senator as well. So, you never know, maybe you could get someone
strings.
In the right place to just say, it's entirely possible.
He didn't even necessarily have to do it himself if he was a senator.
That's true. And, as if prophetically... the next person is William Mansfield, who is a suspected serial killer of the time. So 9 months before the Velasca murders, a similar axe murder occurred in Colorado Springs, funnily enough, in Colorado. Then followed another two, Ellsworth, Kansas, Paolo, Kansas, which was 4 days before the murders in Velasca. In these murders, the murderer used bedsheets to cover the windows, which is the same as in the Moore household, except they used, I think, a dress. And
similar
an apron
enough.
Is close enough. And as in the murders in Velasca, the murderer in Colorado Springs wiped the blood off of the axe and covered the heads of the victims with bed clothes as well. So following the murder of the Moors, there was also another two similar murders in Blue Island, Illinois, and Aurora, Illinois. So in all of these murders, the mirror was covered and a lamp was left at the foot of the bed and a basin was left in the kitchen where the murderer washed themselves afterwards. This is common in all of them. I mean, it's fairly perfunctory.
This serial killer, what was his name?
William Mansfield.
William Mansfield. Was this part of his general MO? He would wash himself, cover the mirrors?
Well, we're not even sure whether Mansfield did it necessarily. It was that he was the main suspect in some of the other ones, and they then also noticed the similarities to the Velasca one.
I assume maybe he was also still around at this time. He was walking free.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
So an investigator going by the name of Wilkerson believed he could prove Mansfield was present at each of the scenes of the murders, and he believed that the reason that the murderer did not leave any fingerprints is because Mansfield's prints were on file at the Federal Military Prison in Leavenworth. He'd already had a prior history. And he thought that, if I leave fingerprints, people will discover it. Whereas if, say, it was a new criminal, I suppose, then they wouldn't be so concerned about fingerprints because they could get his fingerprints and it not match with anyone. So they wouldn't be able to trace them. So Wilkerson convinced a grand jury to open an investigation, but Mansfield was released after he provided an alibi that placed him in Illinois the night of the murders. That's the Velasca ones. Wilkerson believed that pressure from Frank Jones, which is the senator, resulted not only in Mansfield's release, but also in subsequent arrest and trial of Reverend Kelly,
who he believed... So there's a bit of a conspiracy going on here. Oh my goodness.
Because some believed, both at the time and in the modern day, that Jones had hired Mansfield to murder the Moore family. Which,
could be an option.
Mm-hmm. There are also some other prominent suspects there. Henry Lee Moore, who was convicted of killing his mother and grandmother with an axe in a similar manner to that of the Moores, although he is a Moore of no relation to the ones killed in this case. And Paul Mueller, who was another serial axe murderer. In 2017, a book was released by the title of The Man from the Train, which implicated Mueller in the murders. He was the sole suspect of the 1897 murder of a family in West Brookfield, Massachusetts, who had employed him as a farmhand. And the book proposes that the killer selected families that live next to railway tracks, which is where the book gets its title. So that's a recent book. I haven't actually read it. But if you want to figure out the murder for yourself, maybe worth checking out. Mm. But out of all the people, what do you think the most likely is?
I don't know how likely it would be to be able to hire a serial killer, potentially, if you're going to go with the Frank Jones and Mansfield colluded. So I'm going to suggest the Mansfield did it if he's a known serial killer.
He was accused but acquitted.
Accused but acquitted. But if he or a serial killer who he was accused in place of, potentially by mistake, did this, is what I'm thinking. And then Jones took advantage of it for his own means and decided to try and cover it up and then blame it on this reverend fellow who's already mentally ill, already had been in the area at the time, already had left the morning of in suspicious circumstances. I can see how this would... potentially be something that even if you didn't cause it yourself, you could maneuver to your advantage if you're a man of means.
I think clearly the senator has the most motive, but I think the icing on the cake is targeting out Josiah Moore, who he was the only one who had a problem with. Why would the killer single him out particularly, other than if there was a personal vendetta there?
Yes.
Maybe you can make it look like the other axe murders, which I'm sure they were well aware of at the time. So yes, that isn't the end of the story. So the house was purchased in 1994 and restored to its 1912 condition and converted into a tourist destination. And
of course, dark tourism.
Yes.
Big money maker.
It costs $428 a night to stay at the old haunted home.
Bloody
they say
hell.
It's haunted. Yeah, they must be making a killing out of that. Pardon the pun. Sorry.
Scurvy dog, you.
Visitors have reported what they believe to be paranormal experiences, such as visions of a man with an axe roaming the halls and the faint screams of children. In November of 2014, though, Robert Stephen Lawerson, a 37-year-old from Wisconsin and a seasoned paranormal investigator, or at least he had been to multiple places. I don't know what constitutes a seasoned investigator, really. Well... he was found by some of his companions in this house, stabbed in the chest at 1:45 in the morning, around the same time that the axe murders supposedly took place. He had to be helicoptered to hospital, and the wound was, surprisingly of all, reportedly self-inflicted. So,
really?
I've seen many opinions online of people saying that, he was doing it for attention. He was looking for ghosts. They're not real, so he manufactured something. But I think stabbing yourself in the chest to the point where you have to be helicoptered to hospital.
That's going a bit far for the bit, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And there's also the fact that once he recovered from his injuries, he refused to even talk about it. So you'd think that if he was doing it for publicity, he would have milked it, wouldn't he?
Yeah, you would also think that if he wanted to dissuade people of thinking that he's done it to himself, that he would try and give some kind of story, even if it was just, oh, somebody broke in and stabbed me,
mm-hmm.
or something strange happened. But no, he just refuses to talk about it. That suggests to me that, I don't know.
Something going on there, isn't there?
Something might be. Have you ever watched the film 1408, the Stephen King adaptation with John Cusack? He stars as a investigator, or he writes books about all of these tourist destinations for dark tourism, where he goes and sees if he does encounter any spooks and spectres. And of course, most of the time he doesn't, until finally he goes to the one place that does. Would you ever do anything like that? Go to these places that are said to be haunted, where paranormal mm-hmm. events occur?
Well,
I know normally you're the one, you know, haunting people, but how would you the shoe to be on the other foot?
Well, I wouldn't be too afraid because I don't believe in ghosts. So, I mean, it would be spooky. I mean, I'd feel a bit uneasy, but I could sleep soundly at night.
There's an atmosphere that lingers in places like that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps it's all the ghosts.
One of, I think, my parents' former houses is on a plot of land called the Hangman's Hill.
So oh, really?
I've slept soundly. Nearby, many a time.
Nearby where I grew up, there's a hill just called Slaughter Hill, and you can guess what happened there a few hundred years ago.
That being said, I've got a spur of the moment scary story.
Ooh.
So I went to the beach where I grew up,
where all the scariest things happen.
Yes,
I know it well myself.
Yar. No, but the beach isn't the important part. I went there for a barbecue, had a couple of drinks, and then by the time I was walking home, it was dark. It was in the middle of the countryside before I got back to civilization, and some mist had set in, so you could only see a few feet in front of you. And as we were walking through this country lane, it's just a small lane, a car was going, I don't know, about 5 miles an hour, just gently following us along all the way until we got to a field. And it followed us for a long time without any explanation. And in the end, we ended up running away, because they were following us, and only around the corner is a hill known as Murder Hill, where a woman was murdered as many years prior. But it was a well-known thing in the local area. It wasn't its real name, that's what it was nicknamed, but that was only, I don't know, a couple of hundred feet away from the route that we took.
Perhaps the murderer had come back to claim more victims.
That's what we thought.
Or perhaps it was just too difficult to see, so he's being safe.
Yes, probably.
Might be that one. But still, could have been the ghost.
Maybe they thought we were sheep rustlers. That's also possible.
I'm sure that's a big problem that you have down there.
Yeah, rustling the sheep. Although we don't live in Wales, so.
Well, at least it's not shagging the sheep. At least as far as I'm aware.
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.
Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.